Life Audio.
Christian Parent Crazy World with Catherine Seegers is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. I am your host, Catherine Seegers, and in today's episode, we will tackle this tough question. How do we as parents raise our kids to live in a lost culture? I know we have taken the training wheels off of early parenting, a time when we are consumed with feeding and cleaning and washing and drying and napping and burping, and now we are prioritizing the spiritual formation of our kids. This is the tough stuff, especially in the crazy world that we live in, moms and dads. My special guest today is an amazing pastor who has gleaned some incredible lessons from the life of Daniel about living in a lost culture. And today we are going to apply those lessons to our parenting. That's the plan for this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World. So let's get started.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Seriously, at the end of March already? I mean, like, where is this year gone? Oh, goodness. Look, I am so excited to introduce my special guest today. DJ Harry is a husband and a father and a pastor and a speaker and a podcaster. He is the senior pastor of Needham's Grove Baptist Church in Central North Carolina. And he is the co-host of the Better Together podcast, along with his beautiful wife, Lori. Better Together is a wonderful marriage and parenting podcast that you should definitely check out. There's a lot of wit and wisdom to be gleaned from both DJ and Lori. Today, DJ is going to unpack some incredible life lessons from the book of Daniel that will aid us in raising kids to stand firm in a lost culture. So with that, let's jump right in. DJ, it is so good to have you on the show. Welcome to Christian Parent Crazy World.
Thank you so much, Catherine. It really is an honor to be with you today. We're so excited.
I'm excited as well. Tell us a little bit about your family and what you do. You're a pastor, right?
I am. Yes. My wife and I'll start where I like to start. First of all, I'm a husband. My wife and I were high school sweethearts, and we've been married for 26 years now. We have four wonderful kids, and three of our kids are now either in college or married. And then our youngest, Laurel, is still at home. She's a junior in high school. So we're almost empty nesters. Uh-huh. And I'm a pastor. And that's mm-hmm. sort of what I do. That's what we do in ministry. I've been in pastoral ministry for almost 20 years. But before that, my wife and I were both teachers. I was a science and math teacher for about 8 years, and she was an elementary and an English teacher. And so we both have an education background, and then the Lord sort of directed our steps, and we went into the ministry.
Oh, that's incredible. And you also have an amazing podcast called the Better Together podcast. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Sure. So, you know, my wife and I, we didn't always do things the right way when it came to marriage and parenting.
Gosh, we did. My husband and I just nailed it from the start, but oh well.
We did not nail it from the start. And now, granted, my wife and I, we had a good marriage. Like, I don't look back and I don't think we were like on the road to divorce, and our kids weren't on the road to destruction, but we definitely weren't doing a lot of things well. We weren't doing it right. And about 15, 18 years ago, the Lord brought some people into our life that gave us excellent biblical wisdom. We found some resources that pointed to biblically what biblical parenting looked like, what biblical marriage looked like. It radically changed our marriage. It changed our parenting. And so last year, when we hit the 25-year mark, I challenged my wife and I said, you know, Lord, we've been married for 25 years. I would love for us to do a podcast where we begin sharing some of the things that we've learned in marriage and parenting, sort of tell our journey. And it has been such a blessing. You know, my wife originally, I'm going to brag on my wife here for a second.
Please do.
You know, originally, the first 10, 15, 20 episodes, like, were completely scripted. Like, she had to know every point, everything that was going to be said, because she had never, I had had a podcast before. She had not, you know, I preach every Sunday, every Wednesday. She doesn't. And so I'm used to speaking in front of a microphone. She's not. But I tell you what, this year, this season, season two, we have gotten to the point where we have our outline. We know the direction we're going. And it is such a blessing to see her in front of a microphone talking to people that we know will be listening, and she's talking to moms, she's talking to parents, and it's coming from her heart. And so anyway, it has been a blessing. We are in our second season. We're about almost 50 episodes in at this point. And so it has been an awesome adventure for us. And our podcast is Better Together. And it's really been a great journey for us.
Oh, it's great. I've been listening to some of your stuff and it's awesome. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, but I do want to dive into today's topic because this is awesome. This is a big, meaty topic. How can we prepare our kids to stand strong in this very lost Babylonian-like culture that we live in, but not only to stand strong, because we want them to stand strong, but we also want them to make a difference in the world. They were born in the time that they were born in, as are we, not by accident, not by some twist of fate or some Darwinian kind of evolutionary model. We just ended up here when we did. No, God designed us and planned us to live when we do. And so our children have a purpose and a plan in the time that they live in. And of course, we're their chief guide and instructors and mentors on that journey that they're in. And so there are some lessons that we can learn from scripture, particularly from the book of Daniel. I think that's one of the most instructive books for parents these days. I think we need to be camping out there a lot. These lessons could not be more on point with what we're facing in our culture. So why don't you set the stage for us with the book of Daniel? What's going on here at the onset when Daniel and his friends find themselves in a place they didn't imagine they'd be?
Sure. So I'm going to back up just a tad and say 10 years ago, I would have never picked Daniel as a book to give parenting wisdom.
Really?
And it was about 5 years ago, I think, when my wife and I, about 5 years ago, we were preparing for a Sunday school series. I think we were going through the book of Daniel, and my wife and I were then working on a parenting series we were going to be doing for a class in our church. And I highlighted a few things from Daniel's life, and then I backed up, and it was something that Lori and I had a chance to talk a lot about. We began to see just this incredible depth of truth that comes from the first chapter of Daniel. Mm. You know, Daniel starts out, and I'm going to read, and I'm reading from the King James. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it." And in one verse, we have the fall of Jerusalem that has been prophesied for many years. We read about it in Isaiah's prophecy. We read about it in Jeremiah's prophecy. And it was a process that took, I had it written down here, it took multiple 18 months to 30 months. So 1 to 2 years, a long siege of the land. And it gets one verse.
Wow.
One verse. Mm-hmm. And so we move into this process where Daniel Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and up to 300-400 other young men, we don't know how many, were captured and were taken to Babylon, apart from their families, into really a godless, capital G, godless civilization that was filled with lots of false gods and false idolatry. But at the age of 14 or 15, Daniel was expected to stand in a culture that stood radically against what his upbringing taught him. Mm. And I'm happy to say that Daniel stood well, because over the course of 70 years, Daniel served in the palace for over four different kings. God used him to minister through multiple generations, and he had incredible influence in a foreign country. In fact, sadly, and we just finished this actually because we went through Daniel again in our Sunday school class. Sadly, we get to the end of the book of Daniel, and Daniel remembers all that God had promised. And he's like, Lord, it's time for you to let us go back to Jerusalem and go back to the land. But that was the end of Daniel's life. And so Daniel never was able to go back to Jerusalem. He never knew Jerusalem as his home as a boy through adulthood. And yet something happened in those first 15 years, Catherine. Something happened.
Yes.
That prepared him for a life of standing against a godless culture and standing for righteousness. Mm-hmm. So we began seeing this incredible pattern, these little clues in Daniel chapter 1 that tell us how we as parents, and that's a lot of what we focus on in our ministry and in our podcast is parenting, how we as parents can prepare our children to stand up. Because if you look at our culture, truly, we are living in Babylon today.
We are.
And our kids are going to have to be prepared to stand like Daniel did in their Babylon.
Right. And of course, he wasn't alone. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when we see them, what we also see is that everyone else is bowing. So presumably, can we assume that the other young men who were taken along with them, we don't hear anything about them?
Well, I think it's very safe to assume, and actually we do hear about them because in Daniel chapter 1, it talks about Daniel and the others. And I don't remember the exact language, but it's Daniel and the others that were taken. And it's talking about Daniel and the other young men. So it's referring to could be 300-400 other young men.
Yeah.
But there's something interesting happens when Daniel takes a stand and purposes in his heart not to defile himself. And then when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego take their stand and they refuse to bow, from that point on, the other young men are never talked about in the book.
Right.
Like they became insignificant. I believe they just integrated into Babylon.
Yep.
They became good Babylonian young men. But Daniel refused to do that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do that. And so that's why I think they're great examples for us to look at as parents. How can we prepare our kids to do the same thing?
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Oh, that is so true. It's like you said, it's funny. You know, 10 years ago, you might not have thought of this book. This book has been on my radar for so long because of that. I'm like, the culture, and there's been this push in the last 5 years, especially this post-COVID world we live in. There has been what I would consider to be one of the birth pangs Jesus talks about, one of these contractions. Sure. It's like a contraction of evil and of secular worldview. And what we do see, according to the statistics, is that a majority of young people who are raised in church and in Christian homes, they are going out on their own around the age, maybe a little bit older. We're not exactly sure what, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, exactly what their age were, but they were definitely teens. They were grown mm-hmm. enough to be apart from their parents. We see the majority of Christian kids doing the same thing that these young people that you talked about. We don't hear about them again because a majority of the Christian kids,
they're lost. They're gone. Yeah.
Are lost. They've been influenced by our culture. And we talk about a lot on my show, what you do if you find yourself in that situation, how to really influence and parent a child who's walking that path and how to sure. pray for that child. But what we're talking about today is what are the principles that we can learn from Daniel's life and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What did their parents do well? How were they able to stand when everyone else around them
sure.
was godless, and even their own compatriots, their own people who had been taken into captivity with them, they're all bowing. They're bowing. They're mm-hmm. taking the path of least resistance. Daniel and his friends did not. How did they stand strong when these others did not?
Sure. So, Catherine, as we went through this passage, I think we came up with about four very unique things that I think it's safe. Now, it's an assumption, but I think it's a safe assumption mm-hmm. to put the responsibility of these on his parents. So we're not talking today. We're not going to talk about Daniel purposed in his heart. Okay. We're not going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refusing to bow. That's what we want to get our kids to, is that point.
Right.
The question is, what happened ahead of time to prepare them for that?
Right.
And so I think the four things, it's pretty safe that this fell on the role of the parents, because today these four things also fall on the roles of mom and dad. So if you don't mind, can I go ahead and just jump into the first one?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. So the first one that I think we learn, the first principle that we learn from Daniel chapter one, and it's in that concept of verse number one, is that as parents, we don't get to choose when our children will be tested. We don't get to set the time or the date or the age when our children are going to be pressured. We talked about the siege of Jerusalem there in Daniel chapter one. It came unexpectedly. Although it had been prophesied, mm-hmm. it's not something that anyone was really expecting or wanting to happen. It lasted at least 18 to 30 months. Food was cut off. There was starvation. It's talked about in 2 Kings 25 and Lamentations chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar and his men broke through the city walls. They conquered the city. People that tried to escape were captured or killed. Children were being dragged away in wagons made of metal and pulled by horses and mules, and they were being taken. I mean, this is what's happening. And we only see one verse,
mm-hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city. And we can't disconnect from the brutality of what happened. But the point is that we don't get to choose when the enemy will be knocking at the gates, deciding that our children, that our opportunity to raise them is over. For example, this last year, I had some heart issues. And praise the Lord, it turned out to be just an irregular heartbeat. I'm on some medication. Everything's fine. But if at the point that it was happening back in May of this last year of 2023, when it was happening, it was very frightful. And I was confronted with a reality that, you know, if I had a blockage or if I had heart issues, my time on this, you know, I don't get to decide how long I'm going to be here.
Right.
If I were to step away from this earth today, then I don't get to continue training my children. They have to be ready today. If something happens to me and my wife, or if my children are confronted with circumstances at college, or Laurel in the workplace, she works at a local fast food chain, which is a reputable chain. It's been great for her, but she's confronted with issues. And we don't get to choose when that happens in the lives of our kids. Sometimes we think that we can just keep that protective bubble around them and we get to choose when Satan is going to attack, but we don't get to choose that. And sadly, I think, Catherine, you'll agree with this, in our education system, and this is whether it's private or public or wherever we're connecting with the community, our children are being tested earlier and earlier.
Yes.
Things that we thought, you know, maybe would come up in high school or in college are now being pushed down into our younger kids. In the past, these tests were sort of proportional to our kids' age. But it seems like now the younger kids are, they're just being tested younger and younger. Mm-hmm. So I think the first lesson is this. As parents, we can't assume that I've got 16 years to prepare my child. Mm. You know, my child's 5 years old. Okay, well, they'll be, when they're 20, I have to have them ready by the time they're 20. We don't have that luxury. Mm-mm. I think our children are being tested at very, very early ages. And we don't get to choose when we think they're ready to be tested. So I think that comes up because this siege of Jerusalem in verse 1 would have been a surprise. I don't think his parents were necessarily expecting today's the last day we'll see our son Daniel. Mm. But that day came and Daniel had to be ready.
Yes. Beautifully stated. I think the one thing I would add to that, too, is that we don't know how they'll be tested either. We don't know the
Absolutely.
When or the how. Yeah. You know, they... Obviously, your child is going to be tested. Did they imagine that it would be that kind of testing, that their children would literally be taken from them and placed in an alternative culture, a godless culture? And they didn't. I'm sure the parents didn't expect that. Like you said, it had been prophesied Sure. for many years. So had the coming of the Messiah. So has the second coming been prophesied, which we're all waiting for anxiously now. My daughter actually was just sitting up reading part of our Advent devotional. This is going to air much later next year, so they're probably wondering why we're recording this in December. But I was reading that with my daughter, and she asked me, she's like, could Jesus come this Christmas? You know, and I'm like, because we were talking about how he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives, and that's where mm-hmm. he's going to return. And I'm like, gosh, I hope so, honey. I really, really hope so. That would be nice, because I would personally like for that wonderful second coming and our glorious reunion with our Heavenly Father to happen sooner rather than later. But, you know, we don't know. We don't know when they're going to be tested. We don't know how they're mm-hmm. going to be tested. So I guess that is definitely where Daniel leads us to know we've got to be prepared and diligent daily, sure. every single day, and praying for our kids and being very intentional about their spiritual formation. It's very clear that Daniel's parents were, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's parents were.
Sure.
Because they were tested severely, and they stood the test. So what else do we learn from this passage that tells us what their parents did in order to help prepare them?
So the second thing I think comes up in verse number 4, and let me read that. It's continuing to speak of those that were taken, the children or the young boys that were taken. And it's describing them in verse 4. It says, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. So the second thing we see about Daniel in this passage is Daniel, as well as all of the other young men that were chosen, had a very thorough and well-rounded education. Now, I think sometimes we back away from education being a spiritual tool. We sort of think, well, our child's education is to make them a good person. But if they're going to be spiritually used, then they just, we're talking about, knowing the Bible. Mm-hmm. But I would back up and I would challenge your listeners and for those that are watching this, that as Christians, if we are not educating our children in a well-rounded, balanced manner where they are good in, where they are well-learned in the area of science and English and language and history and culture, then I think in the long term, we're crippling their ability to have influence in our culture.
Amen.
Now, clearly, every child is going to have their strength and their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Some children are going to excel in certain areas and maybe be deficient in others. It's for God to choose how he uses our abilities to have an influence. But I think if we just look at, and let's look at the passage, look at verse number 4, and I'm reading this here. It says, these are children that were skillful in wisdom, cunning, and knowledge. So these were young men who had a good head on their shoulders. They had an ability to understand. It says they understood science. Mm. Now, science there, I was a science teacher for 8 years, and I would love to say that this means your kids need to know chemistry and physics really well, but that's not what this is. The science here is talking about general knowledge, the humanities, the sciences. Science, math, history, all of that is included. Daniel and his friends understood science. They also had the ability to stand in the king's palace. They had a healthy self-image. They had the ability to handle pressure. They could carry on a conversation. They could talk to adults. Does all this sound familiar, Catherine?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
These are things that we try to teach our children. But mm-hmm. then it also says, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. These were young people who had the ability to learn a foreign language.
Mm.
So I'm not saying that Daniel and his three friends had to excel at all of these, but there had to be a baseline of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So here was the challenge for us as parents, for my wife and I, is that if I want my children to have the greatest opportunity to have an impact in their Babylon, then part of that preparation is preparing them to go out and to lead in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say often, and Catherine, I know you've heard this before, you know, we want to raise up a generation of doctors and lawyers, you know, Christian doctors and Christian lawyers and Christian politicians that will stand in their culture and will change our country. And we hear this all the time, right? That rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
But are we teaching our children the math and the science and the history necessary so that they can become the next generation of doctors and the next generation of lawyers and the next generation of teachers? And clearly, God's not called all of our kids to do those things. But I think we handicap our children when we just think, well, education is just for like a personal skill. No, that's part of us being able to influence the next culture, the next generation in our culture.
Mm, that is so good. That well-roundedness, the version that I had here said showing an aptitude for every kind of learning.
Excellent. Yes.
And I think one of our greatest challenges as parents, and sometimes our kids, depending on, you know, how they're educated, they can end up with a teacher that does not inspire them, but mm-hmm. really getting a taste of learning, what we're trying to teach our kids to do and hopefully aspire to do is to keep learning, that we never,
sure.
We may leave the high school, we may leave the college, we may leave the university, but we should never leave the place where we're done learning. I don't have to pick up a book anymore. I don't have to watch a documentary anymore. And some people I know gravitate towards that a little more. For some reason, this keeps popping up in my head, and I just found it a little sad. I went on a college tour with my daughter the other day, and we were at this school, and it was a pastor's kid who was leading us on the tour, and he was talking about how he had to take this history class and how much he absolutely hated it, and he hated history. And I'm like, oh gosh, it was a dagger to my heart, because my daughter actually wants to be a history major mm-hmm. and loves history, and I've always loved history. I'm so passionate about it, and hopefully maybe I did a little something right and the way we taught her history, because she's grasped it and she loves it. We don't always agree on everything now. We have really wonderful discussions about whatever's going on in the world right now or historically, because she's got the passion for it. I go in her room now, she's got two or three books that she's gotten on World War II, and she's just devouring them, and she's just fascinated by that. And it is true, if we don't know history, we are doomed to repeat it. So we really do need to be finding ways to help our kids learn and to become well-rounded. Sure. Now, she struggled in science and math. She wasn't brilliant there. We're just trying to get by there. And it just wasn't something she had an aptitude for or an interest in. But obviously, you have to shore up those places. But when you see those places where your kids excel, I become like the biggest megaphone cheerleader, rah-rah. wow, you're really good at this. You are so good at this. And I really encourage my children and try to place them in a place where they're going to be able to excel at that more and become well-rounded, because obviously she does need to know math and science to a degree. She wants to be a journalist and she wants to write on these topics. So that well-roundedness,
absolutely,
is something that's really important. And, you know, there is a mentality with some people, and this is a good debate to have. Like, okay, if your child is going on and to vocational learning, I think it's important, you know, because we do need plumbers in the world. I actually mm-hmm. need one right now. We've had a problem with our kitchen sink for about a month. So we're trying to get fixed. So should that person actually go through a liberal arts college? Maybe not. But hopefully we've inspired our kids enough that no matter what vocation they go into, that they're still going to be engaged in the world, and they're sure. going to be engaging with our culture and what's going on. And they're going to want to know not just the what, but the why.
Sure.
And dig it out mm-hmm. and become a lifelong learner. So that's something I'm very passionate about.
Yeah.
And if you're struggling with your kids, here's something I would encourage you to do. Pray. Pray about it. Say, Lord, what is going to light the fire in this kid? Because I did that about a year ago with one of my kids. I was like, God, this kid just doesn't seem to be passionate about anything. Somebody invited her to Civil Air Patrol, and I've got a new kid this year. I can't even tell you. You know, it's kind of like the Air Force version of ROTC. Mm-hmm. Wasn't on my radar. I'm an artist. I was an actor. I love history and all this stuff. And she's doing this military. She loves it. She absolutely loves it. She's learning. She's learning how to do search and rescue and medical stuff. So, I mean, she's becoming well-rounded because she's passionate about this vocational thing that she's been able to do, or extracurricular thing. So anyways, I think that's a great lesson that we can take away from Daniel, is to help our children become yeah. well-rounded in their education.
And I want to add one other thing, that this passage is not being prescriptive. And I think we do have to be careful when we take passages like this, that we don't say, okay, well, this is what happened in Daniel, so these become the six things that we have to focus on with our kids.
Right.
But I do believe it is descriptive.
Right.
Meaning it gives us a good overall view that Daniel was prepared academically to be able to stand, whatever that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And that as parents, helping our children to become well-rounded, and in the process, they're going to find the one thing that they're going to be able to lead in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 9 years ago when we moved out here to North Carolina, my wife and I were both from the city. We grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. And so we moved to Central North Carolina, out in this rural community, and we absolutely love it. But we learned to appreciate vocational skills.
Yes.
We learned to appreciate the people that finish high school and they go and they get a 2-year certificate in electrical work or plumbing, or they get their mm-hmm. engineering license, or they, you know, all these different things. Ladies that go and they get their nursing degree, or I'm trying to think what the term is for those who clean teeth. My mind just went blank.
The dentist, orthodontist, and
dental hygienist. And those are very popular in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful for that. Like, those are needed jobs. And those people are salt and light in their workplace as well. So we're not talking here about you have to be a senator to lead. You just lead wherever God places you. And it might be on a truck with another coworker, you know, as you're an electrician or you're a plumber, or you might be a teacher or whatever. But we have to prepare our kids for that.
I totally agree. Let me add one thing onto there. And I tell you what we're going to do. I think this would be best if you can do this, since we're kind of halfway through this and we're getting close to the end of time here for this episode.
Sure.
Why don't we pick this, the other two things up in the next episode? But I wanted to add this onto what you just said, because those are people that are so necessary, and they are the salt of the earth. And they are, my husband is one of those people. He didn't finish college. He stumbled across a profession he liked right out of high school. He was hired at a restaurant in a really fancy hotel as a busboy. Before they even opened, they promoted him to server. Over the course of, I actually met him there. I was a server when he was a supervisor there. And he ended up becoming the manager, and then the manager of all the food outlets there. And he went on to be like food and beverage manager in hotels. Mm-hmm. And that's the industry. He's been in this industry for 30 years.
Wow.
Didn't go to college, didn't get a degree, has made a really great living. But I'll tell you what there is about my husband. And I think hopefully we can encourage our kids, whatever path they take in life, whether that's in business or something vocational, like what you were saying, in a 2-year degree or some sort of a technical training. My husband still loves to learn. He'll sit down and watch a documentary with me, or he'll pick up a book and he'll investigate stuff. And so he's still very curious. And what few hours he has, because he works a lot of hours, he just, because the economy is so bad right now, had to take on a second job right now. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating. What's so cool is that the second job, he's actually, for the first time in about 30 years, become a server again, just so we could, you know, add some more. Everybody's feeling it, you know, with
sure.
The cost of living, what it is. Yeah. And so he started as a server. It's very humbling. He's not embarrassed at all, but it's kind of humbling to be kind of where he started in his career 30 years ago. He's doing that mm-hmm. to pick up some extra shift. But he met this young woman. It was so sweet. Who, she's got a 5-year-old, and she's like, and she's kind of talks a little bit like a sailor. And but I know he's going to be such a light and a witness there. But she was talking about how she was reading through the Bible because she felt like she needed it because she wanted to be a better parent. I'm like, wow, that's what I'm talking about. And she's reading through the book of Job. I'm like, well, there's a big one. And I happen to be reading it too. So I'm sending messages to her through my husband. And I'm like, mm-hmm. well, listen to the podcast. Let me know what you think. So I'm definitely going to make sure she hears about this episode. But not everyone is called, like you said, to be the doctor, the lawyer, the business person, sure. or owner of business. Not everyone's going to be an Elon Musk. Only one person is that. But we all have our calling.
Absolutely.
And hopefully what we can develop in our children is the desire to keep learning and to keep seeking out truth and ways that we can be a light and to make a difference in our culture. My husband's done that for 30 years in the food and beverage industry. And now he's working a second job as a server right now with a bunch of other servers. And they've already earmarked him as a leader. I know everybody's coming to him to ask him questions mm-hmm. and stuff because he's got a few wrinkles and a little age on him. But that's where we hope to get all of our kids to. So let's pick up this conversation on the flip side.
Absolutely.
And we'll keep talking about the other lessons that we can, the principles that we can learn from Daniel's life and the book of Daniel that will help us to establish the proper and firm foundation for our kids going forward. But before we do that, just tell them one more time where they can learn more about you, DJ, and your podcast.
So our website is growingbettertogether.org. If they want to send us an email, it's info@growingbettertogether.org. And Better Together is the name of our podcast. And Better Together with DJ and Lori, you can add that on there. But we'd love to have y'all come and join us. We just love talking about Christian parenting and marriage. And the Lord's really blessing it so far. And look forward to having each of you come over and listen if you can.
Absolutely. Definitely. And we'll pick this conversation up because it's so rich in meaty. I don't want to cut it off. So we'll keep going in the next episode. Good stuff, moms and dads. We don't get to choose when or how our kids' faith will be tested. Let me just add that the parenting journey will likely shock you at some point when it comes to the how. That is why we need to be diligent about establishing a well-rounded spiritual education for our kids. It's our job as godly parents to be very intentional about the spiritual formation of our kids. That is the rich soil from which the seeds of truth can flourish. God plants the seeds. We nourish the soil and put our kids in a place where that planting can take place. But what happens when those seeds don't flourish? What happens when you establish that foundation, you nurture the soil, you do your part, moms and dads, not perfectly, but to the best of your ability, and your child still doubts? Your child wanders. They may even take up the prodigal path. I'll be honest, moms and dads, this was not on the agenda for the remainder of my conversation with DJ, but it came up because a lot, and I do mean a lot, of godly Christian parents I know right now are walking this path after diligently nurturing the spiritual soil of their kids' lives. In the next episode, I speak very poignantly and personally to that reality in a way that took even me by surprise. This is an important episode, moms and dads, because so many parents are experiencing this reality. I hope that you will tune in because we need to support families and parents who are walking this road.
and thank you for joining me today. Look, I know there are a lot of things you could be listening to right now, and I really appreciate that you took this time to spend with me. I hope you will join me for my next podcast when we take aim at some aspect of our culture that threatens to derail our parenting and steal our kids' faith. If you enjoyed this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World, would you consider telling a friend and sharing it on social media and giving it a good review over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and following me on Facebook and Instagram? Oh, and maybe you could say that Christian Parent Crazy World is the best podcast you've ever heard in your entire life. Just a thought. And be sure to check out my website, which is KatherineSegers.com. That's Catherine with a C. I have lots of articles and resources there that will help you on your parenting journey. And if you subscribe, I will be sure to send you some really cool free stuff and notify you of future podcasts, articles, and blogs. I want to end this and every episode with a word of encouragement. God gave you your kids, your specific kids, for a reason. That's because you hold the key to unlocking who God created them to be. We'll see you next time.
Christian Parent Crazy World is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.